Preface to the Fourth Edition. Dysfunction is Gold. This book is different. Its main thrust goes beyond providing new information. The root purpose of Work the System is to guide you to a more precise view of reality's simple mechanics, so you can gain better command of your life and therefore be better able to get what you want out of it. There will be a mechanical adjustment in the way you see your world. And when this profound mental shift occurs, systems methodology will make irrefutable sense, and your work and life will never be the same. I like to call this mini awakening getting it. And in part one, I describe exactly what it is and how to achieve it. The nutshell premise? Your life is a collection of individual systems. Fix those systems one at a time, and you will fix your life. To whom is this book intended? It's written especially for anyone who operates a business, from the founder of a brand new mom-and-pop startup to the seasoned CEO of a multinational. At either extreme and in between, the tenets apply uniformly because life's fundamental formula works the same way all the time, everywhere. Here's an insight that Mike, the owner of a $50 million overseas enterprise and one of our first consulting clients, gave me. Sam, I now see that dysfunction is gold. Mike gets it and is exactly correct. If you are enduring the typical organizational inefficiency and then suddenly see that inefficiency and then confidently plow ahead step by step to eliminate it, you will create additional significant bottom line profits. Is there lots of dysfunction in your organization? Then there is lots of gold to be extracted. This increased cash flow will be in addition to the new growth you will experience. The current internal dysfunction in your business is the goal that has been there all along. You just need to get busy excavating. I changed my life after a moment of insight, moving from a nightmarish existence to a life of peace and prosperity. In my primary business, I now work less than 1 hour a month. Yes, we are financially secure now, too, with more than my wife Diana and I need, which enables us to invest and share. I've had the same small business for 36 years, and this is the story of how I transformed it from a chaotic ordeal into a gold mine, pulling my staff upward with me while delivering the highest quality of service available in my industry. How I broke free, and especially how you can too, is described in detail. Believe me, if I can do it, so can you. Career-wise, you may have to do something different than what you do now in order to reach your goals of freedom and prosperity, but probably not. People who follow the Work the System strategy become super efficient, and most of them keep doing what they've been doing all along as they suddenly break the chains and leave their competition in the dust. Let's go one layer deeper and question some of your foundational assumptions of how your enterprise should function. Let's dig out the waste and drive your company forward. Let's make you and your operation incredibly efficient. Despite the book's sly title, there is nothing sinister in these pages, and there's nothing that won't seem logical. There are no gimmicks or mysterious theories, no Six Sigma-type complexities, no hype, no BS. What I discuss, including the get-it insight you will experience, is simple and will make perfect sense. Sound interesting so far? Here it is, the simple mechanics. There are an infinite number of independent puzzle pieces out there, and for each of us to get what we want in our lives, it's just a matter of seeing those pieces accurately, making a proper selection, and then assembling them in a way that produces the results we desire. And no, in focusing on the mechanical, you won't lose your humanity. Work the System is not rah-rah, pumping you up but giving you nowhere to go. It will guide you to achieve the systems mindset perspective and provide you a template for advancement. Then you will determine your own specific steps for creating the prosperity and peace that you've always wanted in your life. Contrary to popular opinion, the workings of the world make perfect sense. There is an inherent order that is stunningly evident if one drops preconceived notions and quietly observes life as it is. By internalizing this new insight, by going one layer deeper, It's an easy matter to arrange things in order to get what one wants. The most satisfying outcome is that life theory and hard reality become congruent. This means one is no longer swayed by peers, public opinion, what feels good, or by moment-to-moment expediency. There is no knee-jerk, tail-wagging-the-dog decision-making. Addressing raw reality head-on, one confidently makes up one's own mind about things, and then consistently applies that certainty to the real world. And it works. It works because reality operates in the same way, everywhere, all the time. It's been 13 years since the first edition of Work the System was published, and at the time I hoped it would help readers get better control of their businesses and their lives. At the risk of braggadocio, that has happened. In the last 9 years, my business associate, Josh Fonger, sole licensee of the Work the System method, has directly contracted with and revitalized more than 1,000 small to medium-sized businesses in the United States and around the world. And since the book was first published, hundreds of thousands more have forged ahead on their own. I'll say this here at the beginning. Each of us has a mechanical aspect and an emotional aspect. And contrary to much pop psychology theory, I say it's a good thing to separate the two. If we don't, things get muddied, and neither aspect turns out so well. And I take issue with the presumption that the road to freedom and prosperity begins with the elimination of personal emotional hang-ups. Work the System is about straightening out the mechanics of a life first. Get the machine right, and emotional improvement will tag along naturally. Can one have emotional hang-ups together with wealth and freedom? Of course. We all know people like that. But hang-ups or not, obtaining wealth and freedom will go a long way toward improving the emotional end of things. In any case, yes, you can flip a switch and your life can all of a sudden become what you want it to be. This is because the switch is located in your head and therefore is readily accessible. 90% of people struggle. On the surface, it seems this is because they don't set direction, they don't get organized, and they spend too much time on fire-killing and trivialities. That's true enough. Yet when the mechanisms of life one layer deeper are seen, the causal reason for the struggle suddenly becomes obvious. But because most of us use up our days coping with too much that doesn't matter, and in repairing bad results, we don't think about delving downward to make adjustments where those time wasters and bad results are propagated. We humans just have a penchant for thrashing around on the surface, not paying attention to the simple mechanics down below. We're driven to complicate what isn't complicated. We've found that not everyone is interested in making more and working less. Some want to make more while working the same amount of time or to just become more effectual at work and at home. And many simply want to feel more in control of their lives and to have their worlds make more sense. Work the System serves all these purposes because it's about becoming more life efficient. And for the record, I love to work, to get mentally submerged in what I call system improvement. Hard work puts me in the zone. And this work I do is creative, in several businesses and on many personal fronts, mostly one-time machine-building efforts that challenge and intrigue me. Oh yes, my life is not boring. Relative to the third edition, is there new core material in this fourth edition? Some, but not a lot in the theory and practice. And my defense is that base reality doesn't change over time. Yet, although the fundamental message remains unchanged, I've made massive improvement in Work the System, in more fully explaining the important points. It's a better quality book. There are literally thousands of small enhancements, updates, and additions. I want you to get it easier and faster. In this, over these last months, I've found enormous self-satisfaction in producing a better representation of what I believe. I'll borrow a common descriptive term for one of the most important threads that weaves its way through the book, bottom-up. In a business, bottom-up calls for system improvement ideas to be generated at the customer service and production levels and then passed on up through management for approval. It's not a declaration of democracy. I like to think a business leader is more of a benevolent dictator. But rather, it acknowledges the obvious, The great ideas most often come from the people on the front lines, the people producing the product or service, as well as those dealing directly with customers. And I'll go here at the risk of proselytizing. In group presentations, as I begin to discuss my mechanical take on business and life, there is always some initial head shaking from the Follow Your Bliss contingent, of which I used to be a card-carrying member, who feel they are called upon to rise above the mechanical world in order to focus on the spiritual. They believe the sacred pursuit of truth is noble and superior and shouldn't be hampered by the restrictive chores of dealing with the petty issues of the mechanical here and now. In fact, they believe their impending spiritual purity will somehow lead to mastery of their physical worlds. My response, which invariably gets them head nodding in agreement instead of head shaking in disapproval, is that we are all spiritual beings existing in a mechanical world. And until we learn to assertively steer the raw mechanics of our lives, we cannot get to a place that gives us the freedom to pursue what is beyond this concrete reality. Why? Because in our mechanical dysfunction, we will always be pulled back into that concrete reality out of sheer necessity. So to these people, I say, the key is to get your personal physical world, with all its boring and base considerations, straightened out first, so you'll have the time and energy to focus on what is beyond it. Yet, having said that, this mechanical existence that we experience can be perceived as a beautifully orchestrated spiritual place if we can just, moment by moment, go deeper to see it for what it actually is. For ethereally inclined Westerners especially, it's a reverse tact to use the mechanical to enter the spiritual. Give it a shot if the opposite sequence hasn't met your expectations. And back to the subject of producing a better quality book. There is this system improvement thing. It's the prime thread that weaves through this audio. Work the System is about the improvement of systems, and a book is a system in itself. Like any other system, this book is an enclosed entity with a multitude of spinning wheels, all contributing to the singular purpose of accomplishing a goal. And like our lives, a book is never perfect. There is always room for betterment, for system improvement. Herein lies a roadblock within the book publishing industry that I have managed to bypass. There is a lesson in this. I have an interesting contractual relationship with my publisher, Greenleaf Book Group, based in Austin, Texas. The arrangement is fundamentally different from 99% of author-publisher arrangements because I have kept the rights to my manuscript. With this, I can tweak and improve my book to my heart's delight, of course, all the while paying close attention to the recommendations of Greenleaf's fine editors. Normally, getting published means the author's rights to the work are forever forfeited to the publisher. New authors, frantic to avoid permanent residence in the dustbin of the self-published, sell their souls to the traditional publishing company. The consequence is that, for starters, the original manuscript is handed over to an editor who, depending on competence, style, personality, attitude, mood of the moment, degree of belief and interest in the subject matter, and experience, often in traditional publishing arrangements, editors for new authors are just out of college, will often render the originally submitted manuscript unrecognizable. There is no recourse for the author. The publishing company owns the manuscript and has the final say on the content and presentation. Here, says the new author to the publisher, I want to be published, so yes, take my work and do what you want with it. And beyond that profound abdication, good luck to the industrious scribe who wants to make further changes and ask the publisher for another printing or, heaven forbid, request a new edition. There's no going back to improve and update the book without the publisher's approval, and most of the time that approval won't be forthcoming. This is a shame because as a nonfiction author grows over the years and becomes even more expert at his or her special message, and while the world continues to quickly evolve, their owned-by-the-publisher book is going to remain static, very soon to become old news. So, because I wanted precise control over this master statement of what I believe, I sought an alternative to the classic publishing deal. I think you'll find the following chronology of the book's development interesting for that reason, but especially for another. The developmental history of Work the System is a perfect illustration of the system improvement thread that is, as I said, the centerpiece of the book itself. Follow along with me here. I self-published Work the System in the spring of 2008. This first printing was softcover. I had spent 2 years and probably 1,000 hours getting the book right. It was the very, very best I could do at the time. It was impeccable, I thought, as in early 2008, the manuscript finally headed off to the printer, sans publisher. I held my breath and waited patiently for my masterpiece to arrive at my doorstep in hard copy. The boxes of new books arrived 6 weeks later. I excitedly opened the first box. I grabbed a copy and instantly gasped at a horrible miscalculation. The cover was an embarrassing gaffe. As a first-time author, how arrogant was this to splash my photo across it? Then I opened that particular copy, and within seconds I blanched again because right there on the very first page I could see that things could have been said so, so much better. I continued to read. It was agonizing. There was clumsy sentence structure, flat-out grammatical errors, poor flow of thought, horse following the cart assertions, and way too much repetition. It was painful. Nevertheless, I put the book out there because it seemed to me the message was solid. To my surprise, it sold pretty well, and a month later I could see there would have to be another printing. This was a relief because this would give me the opportunity to make things right, to institute some serious system improvement. This time, I would get it right, finally. Enthusiastically, I went to work on the manuscript, endlessly tweaking, working day and night to fix the deficiencies, including getting rid of the cover photo. For weeks, I hammered. The message was unchanged, but there was a lot to fix in the delivery. It was a satisfying exercise because I was certainly going to get it right with a second self-published printing. This upgraded version would also be soft cover, and I decided on a simple, plain white glossy cover this time. Off to the printer it went. The shipment arrived a month later. I opened a box with confidence that this would prove to be the penultimate representation of my beliefs about work and life. Whoops. For starters, my minimalist cover was amateurish. And inside, I found that despite the countless grammatical and sentence structure revisions and the continued soundness of the message, it was still clumsy in its presentation. Yet again, the second printing did well in the limited self-published marketplace. And with that success, Greenleaf Book Group accepted the manuscript. We signed a publishing deal in preparation for a second edition ensued. This time, with first-class professional editors and book designers via Greenleaf, the book's contents were shuffled around a bit, and literally thousands more adjustments were made. It would be hardcover this time, to be released in the spring of 2009. When the books arrived, even though I now had a publisher, I was disappointed again. The new cover jacket was attractive, but the experimental glossy cover material was absorbent, instantly smudged by the fingerprints of anyone who picked up the book. And yes, so much inside could have been better said. For the second printing of that second edition, 6 months later, again hardcover, we fixed the jacket and made hundreds of internal enhancements. The books arrived, and sure enough, I was disappointed once more. The cover was fine, but my message was still garbled. Ah! But what I haven't said until now, and this is the key point in all of this, so pay attention here, is that because of my disappointments in each printing and the resultant jillion improvements that I made because of those disappointments, the book's quality had improved tremendously. Despite my nitpicky self-recriminations, I had to admit that the second printing of the second edition wasn't half bad. Why was the book better? It was due to the incessant system improvement gyrations of the previous iterations. And yes, 13 years later, this first printing of the fourth edition has literally thousands of readability and update tweaks. And Greenleaf has yet again come in behind me to smooth things out even further. In particular, Elizabeth Brown, my copy editor, has been incredible. From the very first edition back in 2008 to today, the messages remain the same. It's the delivery of that message that is incrementally improved with each printing. I've grown, and so has my book. As I look back, it's clear to me that I should have known work the system would never be what I wanted it to be the first time, or even the second, third, or fourth time. I knew better. In any case, I've repeatedly tweaked this book over the 13 years of its existence, keeping it up to date and controlling the content while paying close attention to the advice of my publisher. The end result? Each new version of Work the System has been of better quality than the previous version. This first printing of the fourth edition is no exception. At this moment, it's the very best I can do. I tell you all of this to make a point beyond self-aggrandizement, a point that has everything to do with you and your business. Work the System's relentless evolution, in itself, is a perfect illustration of the system improvement process that is at the core of its own message. Can you see how the system improvement strategy can apply to your own business and life? I'll also use this chronology of the book's evolution to point out the beauty of personal freedom, of not getting hamstrung, of being able to chart one's own course. So with this book, I want you to develop the capacity to see the individual processes of your world from moment to moment, and then to expend the bulk of your future work time and energy tweaking those processes to higher and higher efficiency. I want to help you make your systems incredibly effectual so they will quietly and powerfully churn out the results you desire. Hunker down to relentlessly improve the systems of your world, and soon the fire killing will cease, and you'll have the time and money to enjoy the life you have always wanted. I hope you get that. This book is printed in English, Chinese, Japanese, Russian, Korean, Arabic, and Romanian, with more than 2 million distributed in hard copy, audio, and download formats. Others have seen the value of my writing and have attempted to literally steal my work and profit from it. In 2014, I fought to preserve and protect my intellectual property by filing and prosecuting a copyright infringement case in federal court against Sheffern Publishing, LLC. This action was resolved in my favor in late 2016 with the entry of a stipulated judgment that specifically confirmed Sheffern's infringement of my book. Note that in a general system improvement effort aimed at life simplification, in 2018 I sold the consulting coaching branch of Work the System to my long-term employee, Josh Fonger. Also, in 2018, I gifted the business documentation software branch of Work the System to my associates, Manu Goog and Marcello Scatticetti. These were one-time transactions, so I received no ongoing compensation from either enterprise. That's the way I wanted it, clean and simple. However, I am in near-daily contact with Josh, Marcello, and Manu, assisting them when they ask for my help, especially over this tumultuous past year of COVID-19 and civil unrest. In this fourth edition, Josh has gathered 16 real-life case studies from his consulting and coaching clients. Each vignette is presented in short story format, providing feedback from business owners who have gone through one of our Work the System training or consulting programs. Each case study describes where the owner was in the beginning, what they did with the Work the System method to fix their situation, and their current life result. These case studies can be found in Appendix E of the free downloadable PDF of the book that is available on the Work the System website. Also, you'll find them in Appendix E on the Kindle and hard copy versions. And in the last year, Josh has launched a Work the System certification training program for those who wish to operate their own consulting business or to just get a deeper understanding of the methodology. 5 years ago, I wrote another book, The Systems Mindset: Managing the Machinery of Your Life. Published by Greenleaf, it's for people who don't own a business, job holders, students, the retired, the unemployed, and those working at home to raise a family. Mindset is shorter than Work, as it doesn't go into the details of business documentation. But the system improvement message is the same. You can find out more about Mindset at systemsmindset.com, where you can download the book in text for free. It's available in hardcover and audio, too. To complete this preface to the fourth edition, I'm thinking it would be good to explain the overall threads of the book right here at the start. I'll keep it simple. 1. Reality is what it is, whether you like it or not. 2. Drop the prescribed menu. Cut loose. Make up your own mind. 3. Your life is a collection of linear 1, 2, 3, 4 systems. The scary and wonderful thing about that? In this moment, don't argue with me, every condition of your life was preceded by an assemblage of step-by-step processes. And this means the processes that are executing right now, seen and unseen, are determining your future. To create the life you want, you must intensely manage your systems in the present moment. You must ceaselessly perform system improvement. 4. Spend the majority of your work time in preparation and building, not personally executing the work. 5. What dysfunctional primary system is pervasive in business and personal life? It's one-on-one and group communication protocols, including frequency, speed, encapsulation, direction, and tools. The stupendous news? Bad communication is quickly repaired, and the instant return on investment is astonishing. 6. People say, everything happens for a reason. That's true enough, yet it's a sophomoric vision. Almost always, the individual who declares this is referring to a pre-stamped life, a template existence in which someone upstairs is orchestrating every occurrence. Something bad happens, something good happens. Either way, that event has been predetermined. So it's okay. But being a puppet is not the divine endowment we've been given. Rather, our God-given gift is the freedom to choose. To lighten up that concept, here's something Diana has offhandedly said more than once. Everything happens for a reason. And sometimes that reason is because someone did something stupid. 7. Point of sale. Get the wheels turning now. At first glance, this might seem platitudinous. It's not. 8. Create value for others, all the time. 9. Mind the gap. Silence breeds paranoia. Don't stop talking. 10. In the kingdom that is your life, be very careful about who and what you let enter through your gates. 11. The more control you have over your life, the more productive and happier you will be. 12. The magic of life is right here, right now, in front of our noses. It's not out there somewhere. The colossal human error is the assumption that there is a cosmic inclination to chaos. The mechanical truth, there is a default propensity toward order. In my own way, I'm a believer now, and I thank God for every moment of this life. One more thing. Know that business is art. The ability to patiently ascend the learning curve, to relentlessly plow through obstacles, to keep improving things no matter what, to ultimately create something of beauty out of the miscalculations of the past, to weather the storm, are beautiful things. A successful business is a self-sustaining entity of worth that creates value for all involved. As you stumble, walk, and sprint to that end, don't ever underestimate your accomplishment and your contribution.